Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Govinda Gopala. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Loudly.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. O Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Sisi Gauranitai. O Jaya Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda, Jaya Asta Sakhi Brinda.
Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda,
Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Jai Jaya Gurudev, 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev.
Srila Prabhupada ki, ISKCON Guruvinda ki, Srila Prabhupada Sensual Book Distribution ki, Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Bo. Welcome back to the second day of the Book Distribution Leadership Seminar here in Tirupati. Very happy to see all of you, or most of you. I'm happy to see all of you, but some of you haven't appeared yet. You're still unmanifest. Sometimes the devotees are manifest and sometimes they're unmanifest, but they're always present. So, yesterday we discussed about a lot of different things, seven purposes of ISKCON, the aims of book distribution, principles and values, and we had some homework. So, I'd like to hear from you. What are your top five reasons why you engage in book distribution, or why you support book distribution, or why you're here today? So, please, just your most important reason. There is cordless microphones here, and if somebody has already mentioned a reason, there's no need to mention it again. Try to add something. So we'll just go around and everybody gives their top reason. And if it already has been mentioned, then you move to number two, number three, like that. So we'll just have a round. I think there is place on the table. You can move forward. Okay. Please.
Hare Krishna.
As I mentioned yesterday, we will start on time and finish on time. Some people may come a little late. We will value those who come on time. Otherwise, if we wait, then we value those who come late. So what gets rewarded is what gets done. So we reward those who come on time. So that's why we start on time. Please.
To share the benefit which I receive by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, that's why I want to distribute the books.
Okay, thank you. Next one.
To increase the devotees of the Lord.
Thank you.
A book can preach more about, give more knowledge about people, but we have limit time so that we cannot speak entire Bhagavad Gita or a small book.
So we can only say so much, but the book can say
everything.
Everything. Thank you.
We to develop own humbleness.
To develop our own humility.
Humility. Yeah.
Thank you.
Book distribution is the more effective way of preaching because Srila Prabhupada directly speaks with the reader.
Most effective way of preaching. Prabhupada is preaching directly. Thank you.
Prabhupada,
don't pass the mic. Everybody can say something. Why you distribute books?
Change the people's consciousness.
Change people's consciousness. Thank you.
Prabhupada says, please distribute my books.
Prabhupada's desire, please distribute my books. Thank you.
Halaharati, 16 round chanting is next to book distribution is happiness.
Expression of happiness. Happiness. Thank you.
If Prabhupada's books are distributed, there is no confusion among devotees from other books.
If we give out Prabhupada's books, there is less confusion about so many other books. Thank you.
The real compassion which I got from the devotees through Srila Prabhupada's books, so why I should not give to the other people?
Yes, why not? Thank you.
So Vishnu Chakra Thakur says, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasado, by pleasing the spiritual master one can please Krishna. So by Prabhupada says, if you want to please me, please distribute by books. So by pleasing Prabhupada, you can please Krishna.
Thank you.
Book distribution is an integral part of fulfilling the seven purposes of ISKCON.
Thank you.
So we should do book distribution.
To follow the instructions of the previous acharyas and be part of a revolutionary team.
Thank you.
Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita that one who preaches my glory to others is a very dear servant to me. So in order to become dear to Krishna, we need to distribute these books.
Thank you.
I am convinced that if any person has one book of Srila Prabhupada with him, some or other way, or is maybe in some time in his life, he will definitely going to be a devotee.
Thank you.
Give a Krishna consciousness to everybody.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Give to books means give to passport to Goloka.
The main reason why you distribute books.
You're going to Goloka, passport.
Huh?
Give books means na, you're going to Goloka.
Okay, everybody who gets book can ultimately go to Goloka. And we can also go to Goloka. You want to go to Goloka?
Definitely.
Huh? Definitely, good. Thank you.
In Vedic system is there, in Gurukula, that a student must collect alms for the spiritual master to satisfy for yajñas. In this age of Kali, we are doing Sangeetana yajñas to satisfy our Guru and Prabhupada. So we are distributing books is our main purpose of our moment.
Thank you.
By distributing books, we will get so much nectar. So that nectar we want to relish again and again.
Thank you.
To help the Mayapur projects.
Going to build Mayapur? Yes, because what was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's proclamation?
So by distributing Srila Prabhupada books, it gives the real knowledge which is directly from Krishna through Parampara.
Thank That's you.
Distributing real knowledge.
Financial support for ISKCON projects.
Okay, thank you.
We can close down all the slaughterhouses, whiskey shops and Darwin theory in the syllabus.
Thank you.
All the previous acharyas desire to distribute our literature. Mainly all the acharyas will be pleased distributing books.
Thank you.
It brings a conditioned soul an opportunity to meet the message of a pure devotee.
Thank you.
Book distribution is the best way to show compassion to the conditioned souls, Jivadaya.
Jiva Doya. We can go around the whole day.
Distributing. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Nityam.
So distributing books is the highest welfare activity.
Thank you.
By distributing books, we become responsible and to represent Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON.
Thank you. Okay, so... I forgot somebody.
If a devotee is pleased, Krishna is pleased. I want to please my Guru Maharaj. That's the reason I distribute books.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Whoever hasn't contributed yet, please do so. And I think we got space on the table. So if everybody can sit on the table, we can just put one more chair there in the back. You can sit beside the brahmachari. And Prabhuji can sit on the other side next to the ladies. Thank you. So, how did you find that exercise, writing down the reasons why you distribute books? It was good? Yeah? So this can be done, or this should be done regularly. It's not that this is a one-time off, but you can do this regularly. Like when you have your monthly Sankirtan festival, or you have your meeting with your congregation, and you want to fire them up about preaching and book distribution, then go through these things before you give your talk, and you will get a very clear picture of what you like to convey. People ask me many times why you still go out and distribute books. Because, you know, you could just teach, or you could just manage, or you could do so many other things. I've been doing a few things in this movement, and frankly speaking, there is no other service which gives the same taste. I'm hankering for that taste. I want to get that taste. Secondly, if you want to know what Srila Prabhupada felt when he stepped off the Jaladuta, you have to go on book distribution. Because that is the heart, that is the spirit. You don't know, should I turn left, should I turn right? What should I say? What will happen? How will the person react? That was what Srila Prabhupada was facing in his preaching. So sometimes we get a little comfortable in our situation. And we think everything is under control and I know who's who and what's what. But preaching means going out and taking risks for Krishna and expecting the unexpected. But always knowing that the Lord is protecting you. So, I feel the protection of the Lord the strongest when I'm out there trying to engage in preaching and in book distribution. So, for me that is very comforting. It is giving me shelter. Much more so than if I'm at home amongst my people. And also, I feel that book distribution and preaching is the greatest fun. It is really a lot of fun. So if you want to have fun, you have to join the Sankirtan party. Because this party is never stopping. We have the Mangal party, and then we have the Darshan party, then we have the Sankirtan party, we have the Goda party. So there is party all day long. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So yesterday, we focused mainly on character. Today and tomorrow, we're going to focus on skills. You all remember, character, skills, both things are important. We can't have one and not the other. Now, if we have to choose between the two, what would you choose? Character. Why character? Because skills can be learned. Character is not something which you can just pick up like that. Character is something which takes a lifetime of preparation. So that's why when we are recruiting people, we are looking mainly for good character. Like whether the person closes the door when they come inside the room. Whether they say thank you. Whether they say excuse me. Like that. These things. That means they have some character. They have some, you know, a certain rapport. A certain way of dealing is there. Skills that can be picked up along the way. Now, some of the skills which you hear about, especially today and tomorrow, you might say that these are external, that these are not so important, but I will show you, or try to show you, how these skills have been used by our acharyas. They have been used by the Lord Himself. Just as an example, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi, and he dealt with Prakashananda Saraswati and the Mayavadi sannyasis of Benares. What was his first initial tactic? How did he deal with them? He was humble. How was he humble? He's sitting where they're washing the feet. So he put himself in a humble position. And then? What else? What did he do when they started talking to him? He was not immediately telling them, okay, it's like this, like this, like this, like this, like this. But he was saying, I'm from a very inferior caste, and you are all great sannyasis. So you please tell me how it is. And what did he do? What was the result of that? What was the reaction? What happened? What happened in these Mayavadi sannyasis' hearts? Their heart transformed. In which way did it transform? Meaning, he won over their heart. Not by talking, not by preaching, not by pushing, not by coercing, but simply by taking the humble position and by listening to them. By giving them respect, he won over their heart. And then what happened? When he started speaking, they actually listened to him. And they actually believed him. Why? Because they saw, this person has got good qualities. This person has character. This person has humility. And then, he won over their hearts. And he completely captivated them. And he liberated them with Krishna's mercy. So in the same way, when we go out to preach or when we go out to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, there is different types of techniques, there is different types of strategies, there is different types of skills which we can use to utilize for the service of Srila Prabhupada. Just like Srila Prabhupada himself, according to time, place, circumstances, he used different techniques. Like when he was in America, he put a lot of books on commission in different stores. In fact, the first year he maintained himself just by selling his books. Now in India, it's quite normal, if you're a sadhu, you do madhukari. Like when Prabhupada lived in Vrindavan, he didn't sell his books. He went door to door begging. And he begged, one roti, one roti, one roti. That was the system. But in America, if you do that, they'll lock you up and throw you in jail. Because that's not the system. The system is different. The system is, okay, you have something? Alright, how much? Okay, I give you something. That's the system. So time, place and circumstance. If there's a different system, you have to adopt to that system. In certain countries of the world, you are not allowed to ask for donations. It is against the law. You need a special permit. And it's very difficult to get sometimes. Sometimes impossible to do that. But you can get a vendor's license and sell. In other places, you're not allowed to sell. Or the public will not like it. They will not appreciate it if you sell. But you can ask for donations. That they can accept. Just like I was in Japan many times. And in Japan, there still is that culture because of Buddhism and because of the monks, that a monk is not allowed to do any commercial activity. It's just against the culture. It just doesn't work. So what you do is you meet the person and you bow down. And then the other person bows down. And then you give them a gift, and then they give you a gift. And then you both bow down, and then you smile, and then you go. That is the culture. If you come and you say, hey, here, take it. You know, give me money. The person will get very upset, very disturbed. In the same way in India, many times. If they see you sitting in the railway station or at the book table, and you go, 50% discount, 50% discount, 50% discount, 50 rupees, 50 rupees, 50 rupees, they think this is a panwala. This is, you know, a guy who's selling chai or something like that, right? And they'll get the impression that these people are just simply very low-class, cheap salespeople. But if you stand there and you say, by the mercy of Shri Shri Radha Govinda, by the mercy of Shri Balaji, thank you very much for coming out here today. We are very happy to see all of you, smiling faces. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now you're smiling. And you're happy. But we want you to be smiling and happy all your life. That's why please take one Bhagavad Gita. And make your life perfect. And make other people fortunate by giving them the gift of Bhagavad Gita. This is working more likely in this environment. Now environments are different. So we have to use our God-given intelligence how to adapt the principle in the practice. To adopt it. Huh? You understand the difference between a principle and a detail? The principle is to win people's hearts, to win them over, to touch them in their hearts, to get them to appreciate Srila Prabhupada's gift and these books. The detail is whether it is a gift, whether it is an exchange, or whether it is a sale. That is a detail. That is time, place, and circumstance. So we cannot be too uptight. Sometimes you're in a mall or at a fair where they're selling things, at a trade show, and you have a book table there. And people see it more like selling. They see it more like, okay, they're selling juicer and mixer and cars and motorbikes and jewelry and books. So whatever they're thinking, our understanding is what counts. If you see yourself as a salesman, then you are a salesman. If you see yourself as a representative of Mahaprabhu, sharing the mercy of the Guru Parampara, then you're an instrument of Mahaprabhu and of the Guru Parampara. It is all up to us what kind of state of mind, what kind of a consciousness we are in. Now, being a salesman brings some advantages and some disadvantages. Can somebody name some of the advantages of being a salesman? Yes.
Get more support.
Like advantage of salesman is he know the mood of the people and push somehow or other push the books, get more
contact. He figures out, okay, who do we have here? Okay, how to talk to these people, how to get this audience. Like that. And he pushes. He can push more, you said. Sadhu cannot push so much. Why not?
People suspect sadhu like sattvic, they are not like
passionate, not so much rajagun, yes. Not so much, hey, come on, let's do this, hey, you know, It's not, it doesn't fit the profile, right? It doesn't feel right. So you have to understand, you're in the context, in the cultural context of Bharatvarsha, of India. So the cultural context here is different than in the West. So if you see some videos of people with pant and shirt, or even in your student handbooks, you have here some examples of how to approach people, what lines to use, what to say. Some of it you might say, hey, this would never work here. I could never do this. So then what do? Take the handbook and throw it in the garbage? Or you see that this was devised for the entire world. And out of the entire population of 7 billion people, some part is here in India. But even here in India, a lot of the population is getting more and more westernized. They're getting more and more into this rajasic and tamasic mood. Now the question is, do we have to act rajasic and tamasic in order to connect with them? No. But can we utilize certain techniques in order to present to these people Krishna consciousness so that they can appreciate it? Yes, we can do that. But we're not going to compromise our principles and values. Which principles and values could be compromised? Dress code, which means devotee welfare. Like for instance, in mundane marketing, that's what every advertisement firm tells you. And that's what you see on all the posters. Sex sells, isn't it? So you put some naked people up there, and that's going to sell your goods, isn't it? That's the psychology. But that's compromising which principle and value? Devotee welfare, what else? Quite a few, quite a number. Huh?
Honesty.
Honesty, accurate representation, what else? Ideal character, most of them. So we cannot do this. So we should never compromise. But can we dress people in pant and shirt? Is that acceptable? Yes. Srila Prabhupada said it is acceptable. But what else did he say? Huh? Wear the tilak and kunti mala. Yes. What else? Dress like a gentleman. Yes. Not like a gypsy. And? It has to improve book distribution. What else? It has to be a requirement of that situation. You have to behave like a Vaishnava. The dress is not really what makes the Vaishnava. Like in some places they say, no dhoti, no devotee. Huh? You don't wear the dhoti, you're not a devotee. Now, is that our philosophy? No. Our aim is to attract the people to Krishna consciousness. Like Srila Prabhupada, he was in America in Butler, Pennsylvania. And he was there for 5 months. people ask him, why did you waste your time there? Nothing was happening in that little town, you know? Prabhupada said, never think I wasted my time. I studied the American people. Yeah. Said, I studied the American people. And he even wrote to a friend in India. He said, tonight I'm going to watch Indian classical dance. Now I'm a sannyasi. I have not seen classical dance in 40 years. I got no interest in seeing a woman dance. But I go to watch it for two reasons. Number one, I want to see how are the American people accepting, how are they reacting to our Indian culture. And number two, what are the social dealings? What are the customs? Because Prabhupada came from Vrindavan. It's slightly different customs, slightly different culture than Butler, Pennsylvania. So he said, I want to see what are the social dealings, how are people dealing with each other? Because I want to present to them Krishna consciousness in a way that they can accept it, that they can take it seriously. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had his preachers deal with the Britishers, he had them dress up with turbans, with long coats. He rode in a motor car, which was unacceptable in those days for a sannyasi to ride in a motor car, and he wore leather padded shoes. Because for the Westerners, the first thing they see is, like in India, is your smile. That's the first thing you see. The second thing they see is your shirt. And the third thing they see is your shoes. So if you got no shoes, or you got wooden shoes, or you got broken plastic sandals, they will not take you seriously. Believe me, I'm from Switzerland. If somebody doesn't wear shoes, like now I was distributing books in Australia, in a town called Manurewa, it's southern Auckland. There's a lot of islanders, you know, people from Samoa and Tonga. You know those big people who are good at playing rugby? They're strong, you know, islanders. And many of them walk around without shoes. Some of them with socks on the pavement outside. And it's middle of the summer and they have woolen hats on. Now it's all according to local custom. But the point is, if you walk around barefoot in most of the countries of the world, you will not get past the secretary or the security guard. If he sees a person coming with no shoes on, you're not going to come in here. You know, they have a sign, no shirt, no shoes, no service. You ever seen that sign? It's there in many countries, especially Australia, like that. When people go to the beach and they walk around with their bathing shorts. But then in the shops, they have that sign, no shirt, no shoes, no service. Because they want to express that, you know, you got to have a certain type of dress code. So our acharyas have adapted the details in order to convey the message, in order to convey the principle. Now this is a very important point. That's why we're spending time here on this. What is the difference between a principle and a detail? Just like, for instance, who can tell us what is a principle and what is a detail?
Principle is that which cannot be changed. Detail can be changed.
Okay, principle cannot be changed, but the detail can be changed to suit the purpose and to fit the occasion. Just like in Srila Prabhupada's example. The principle was, give these people Krishna consciousness. The detail was, okay, how are we going to do it? How are we going to be dressed, or how are we going to deal with them? Like you see pictures in Prabhupada Lilamrita with Srila Prabhupada and the mayor of Geneva. And he's shaking the man's hand. Now in India, if you go up to people and you want to shake their hand, they feel slightly strange, isn't it? Except in the big cities. They're into this. You know, they like this. Oh yeah, he knows, like that. Oh, I made the mistake a couple of months back, no, a couple of weeks back. My accountant in Mayapur, we had a discussion, friendly discussion like that. We were both very happy. And I tapped him on the shoulder, you know, like this. And he had this look on his face like, why you hit me, you know? And he was like flabbergasted. And then I went like this, you know, Hare Krishna. And then he started smiling. Then he was okay. Now, in many places in India, especially West Bengal, if you actually want to get through to the person, you actually want the guy to listen to you, you know what you have to do? Do you know what you have to do? You have all seen it. You know? You go there and instead of doing other things is, you take their hand. And you hold their hand, you know? And you rub their hand. Then his heart becomes soft. And he's already smiling, you know? He already likes me. But if you try to do this in the West, this is a no-no. This doesn't work. If you do that in Holland, what will happen? That person will be very upset because it has a different meaning. So you, even inside India, there's different cultures and different traditions. So you have to know what is the local custom, what is the local custom, what is the local tradition. Otherwise, you will not be able to connect with the person. Now, you might say that I'm a brahmachari, I'm not interested in all these things, I just want to preach. Yeah, that's fine, fair enough. But if preaching means getting through to that person means doing things in a way that this person can appreciate it, just like here in Tirupati. You have people from all over India who come here, right? Now, if you learn a few of the languages, just the basic nice things to say, will it improve your sankirtan? Sure, greatly, tremendously. Because the people will not only see that, hey, this person can speak a little bit to me, they will think it's cute, it's really nice, but they will see that you make the endeavor. You might be an Andhra boy, but you're speaking, you know, so many other languages, just for them. And that really softens their heart. I travel the world and I try to pick up a few languages and it has helped me tremendously in my sankirtan. Even though you might be in a place where people don't understand you at all, if you just know how to say, hello, how are you? Or nice to meet you. Something small. It makes a world of a difference. A world of a difference. So should we do that? We definitely should. Huh? So, we're going to get into basic skills in this lesson. And remember, this is just the basics. The details, the adaptation, we're talking about principles here. Principles of communication. The details, you have to adapt it. If it doesn't fly, change it. Adapt it. Make it suit your occasion. Basically speaking, every interaction we have in book distribution has got three parts. Now we're talking here rocket science, you know? Building spaceship. It's got a beginning, a middle, and an end. Like a rocket, no? It's got a beginning, a middle, and an end. That was a joke. It's not so complicated. It's not so sophisticated. But basically speaking, most of the devotees, when they approach the public, it's over before it has even started. It's finished. It's over. You don't even have to open your mouth. Because just before you even start talking, it's already game over. Why? Anyone? Have you ever experienced that? That a conversation was over before it even started? Have you ever had that experience? Just like I was distributing books in Dadar Station in Bombay in the marathon about 2 years back. And many devotees went out, most of whom usually are not book distributors. Now some of them, you know, there's the book table here. Some of them would just sit there with their beat back. They just go, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Now he's doing the right thing. He's chanting the holy name of the Lord, right? But his book distribution is over before it even started. Because the people walk by and they see this fellow, and what are they thinking? Huh?
He's busy.
Yeah, he's busy. I mean, it's nice that he's busy, but why is he busy here? I mean, he's a sadhu. Why isn't he busy in the temple? Or why isn't he busy in the forest? Or in the... Why does he have to sit in the other station? Okay, he wants to purify the place. That's great. But, but you know, it's not really actually... There's not commuting, you know? It's not happening. So that's an example of how his book distribution is over before it even started. Because he's not making any endeavor to talk to the people. Even when people come sometimes and they ask questions, he might be too busy with his chanting. Have you ever noticed this? That we are too busy doing what we're doing, and when guests come and have questions, they don't really get any reciprocation from the devotees. And they feel like, hello? Anybody home? Can I get some service here? And everybody's busy running around. I know, personally speaking, to go into certain temples in India, no need to mention names, where I've went several times, and on a consistent level, I've been ignored or even disrespected and not gotten any service. In some places where I had to get books in order to give them to other people, people would give me the royal runaround. You know what the royal runaround is? That, you know, he sends you to him, and he sends you to that one, and that one sends you to that one, and that one lost the key, and the other guy doesn't know where this guy is because he went to see his mother, you know. And then the guy who's actually there with the key, after 2 hours, he says, you know, Prabhu, I don't know what the prices are, so I can't sell it to you. I'm really sorry. And then you feel like going and taking a stick and beating that person. Because you feel like if Prabhupada would be there, he would get so angry and he would blast these people so heavily. You know, you get angry like a lion. You come to my temple, you want to get my books, and you treat people like this. Now, I've had this experience so many occasions. And then what you do? You just avoid that place. You just don't go there anymore. Because that's what's happening. We're going to speak in lesson number 3 today about customer care. But that just as a little introduction into the topic. So, before we start off, we hear Srila Prabhupada's comment on the topic. Sankirtan transcends mundane salesmanship. The results show that there is no limit to our book distribution. Our books are qualified to be distributed unlimitedly. We are not fiction writers. It is a fact that no expert book salesman can compete with our men. The librarian has noted the difference between our men and other publishers' men. We are working heart and soul, not for money. Such expert salesmen would have to be paid at least $1,000 per month. And, quote by Prabhupada, Okay. Tell me when you're ready.
These kind of objections are always made by the atheist class of men. Even Jesus Christ was crucified. So, this is the material world. We'll find always such nonsense class of men.
It must cost you a lot of money to go traveling around the world all the time.
Yes, we have got about 102 branches all over the world.
Where do you get the money?
Get money from God. We especially get money by selling our books. You have seen our books.
If you can't charge...
We are selling, according to Indian exchange, we are selling about 25 to 30,000 rupees worth books daily.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. You saw how cool Prabhupada was? Huh? We get money from God. I like that one. And there's another one.
We can spend all the money of the world.
Unfortunately, you do not give us any.
Prabhupada said we can spend all the money of the world. Unfortunately, you do not give us the money. So Prabhupada had no problems in dealing with money. He was not uptight. You know, like sadhus, sometimes they say, money. Stay away, right? That's what they do. Prabhupada said, give me. Give it to me. I'll give it to Krishna. But he was not, either way, he was not attached. So the topic is basic skills of book distribution. And there are three categories, as we mentioned: approach and opening, presentation, interaction, and securing a donation and closing. Now, you got some lesson notes in your student handbooks, which I don't want you to look at right now, but they're there on pages 14 and 15. You can consult these. That's your homework for tomorrow. Also, at the back of the student handbook, there is a skills worksheet, page 31. I want you to fill those out. How well am I doing in approaching people? Stopping them, asking them questions, developing the interaction, using mantras, objections and excuses, giving many books, getting donations, closing, and follow-up. Is the homework clear? Any questions on the homework? Reading the notes on the basic skills and filling out the skills worksheet at the end of your student handbook. Now, I'm not going to get into these details here because time, place, and circumstance is very different. If I approach a person in the West, I can walk up to that person and say something like, nice shoes. How you doing? How's it going? And the person will feel, hey, this fellow, he has appreciated me. He has respected me. He sees that I'm a person of taste, a person of class. And, okay, man, how's it going? What's up? All right. So, we're showing these today to all the best-dressed people. Are you one of the best-dressed people? Now, I'm not sure whether you can say that in India. You can't do that here, right? Or Vaisheshika Prabhu, my friend and mentor from ISV, we were at a car wash. You know, it's a place where they wash your car. And we were sitting outside on the bench. Then there was a lady there, a dog. And we sat down, and the moment Vaisheshika turned to her and said, oh, that's a nice dog. What kind of a dog is that? I knew that if she replies to that question, she's finished. She walks away with a book. Now here in India, if you tell somebody, oh, that's a nice dog, that doesn't work, right? If a dog is there, what do you say? Right? But in the West, there is a saying, love me, love my dog. Because the dog is man's best friend. Now here, you might say to somebody, you look like a school teacher. Are you a headmaster? Or you're a lawyer or you're an engineer, like that. If you say that in the West, it will not fly. It's too corny. It's like it just doesn't commute. People don't react. So you have to know what is the local mentality. What do people appreciate? Or you might say, I'm not bothering with all of this. I just stay on a transcendental platform. And I just go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. By the mercy of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, we're showing these wonderful Bhagavad Gitas to all the sincere and faithful and pious pilgrims. This will work, right? They will appreciate. Yes. But if you do the same in downtown Bombay, people will look at you and say, like, where's this guy coming from? You know? I mean, it's fun. You try it. I work the trains there. And I made the announcement. You know, in the trains, everybody's like asleep, you know, or, you know, or reading something or doing something. And I was getting into the bogies and making announcement like, Hare Krishna! By the mercy of Shri Shri Radha Govinda, we're giving these wonderful books to all the smart, the intelligent, the well-dressed, all the happy people of Bombay. And then you see five people start looking. And then you go on like that. And then all of a sudden, 10 people are looking. And you just go on. Then 20 people are looking. All of a sudden, people start smiling. And then you just start handing out books. And you continue talking. And then all of a sudden, people start taking out money and taking books. You try it. It actually works. But many times we are too much in our own little heads, you know? Oh, how does the person see me? And how do I see him? And what about this? And what can I say? And what can't I say? And, you know, too much of all that stuff. So you learn some basics. But always remember, it's not about what you say, but it's about how you say it. Did you know, from all my presentations, you will probably retain, you know, what I actually said, that 7% of what you're going to retain. More than 40% is the way how I said it, the intonation, you know. And more than 50% is body language, gestures, how you move. Now that person who was sitting there, he might even say the right thing. This is Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, teachings of Arjuna. But because his body language was like, you know, I'm minding my own business. So he was not really getting a lot of attention. So sometimes you have to use your body in order to project. Like, why am I speaking the way am I speaking? I could also just be sitting here and mumbling and talking. And I would lose about 70% of the audience. Because that's just the way how it goes. You have some, they tune in, and the others, you lose them. But if you want to connect with the people, what's the first thing you have to do? Eye contact. You have to actually make eye contact with the people. And with all due respect, brahmacharis, even when it's ladies, you can't just look down and say, here's the book. Put the money there. Put the money there. Here's the book. I'm not allowed to look at you. It won't work. You know? That's just the way it is. But you're doing this not as a commercial activity, not as a socializing activity. You're doing this to give this person Krishna consciousness. You remember the two monks and the lady who had to get over the river? You know that story? Huh? There's two monks. They came to a river. There was a lady. And she had to get over the river. So she said, can you help me? One guy said, hey, I'm a monk. You know, I mean, why do you ask me? You know, I'm a brahmachari. Even talking to me is not allowed, you know. And the other one, he picked her up, carried her over the river, put her down. Then they're walking. And a few miles down the road, the one who didn't respond, the paka brahmachari, told to the other brahmachari, why did you carry her over the river, you know? You're a brahmachari. You're not supposed to do that. Don't you know? The other fellow said, you know what? I carried her over the river, but you carried her all the way from where she talked to us to now. You carried her in your mind. So what's worse? So we're brahmacharis. That means we're the servant. We're the servant of society. See everybody as mother. And that's also for the Grihastha brahmacharis. We see all the ladies as mother. But if they want to purchase Bhagavad Gita, you smile, you look at them, and you say, here, please take. There's nothing harm. There's no harm in that. Huh? Because there is no ulterior motive. There is no other agenda there. There is no other talk there. So the first thing is you have to do, there has to be eye contact. It doesn't work. You can't just hold out the book and say, take it, give me the money. It won't work. I've never seen it work. You have to actually take the effort to make the contact with the person. So that's why with most devotees it's over before it even started. Because they do not take the time and the effort to actually connect with the person. It's about connecting with the person. It's very important. Like Lord Chaitanya, he connected with the Mayavadi sannyasis. He knew their mind. He knew their state of heart. He knew what would get them. And that's exactly what he did. So, in presentation and interaction, this can be very elaborate or it can be very basic. Always remember, there is no hard and fast rules. The principle is to get the appreciation, to get the attention, and to get the person to take a book. The detail is how you do it. Many times I see devotees and they want to start giving an entire lecture. You know, once upon a time there was a king, he was cursed, and you know, he had 7 days to live, and he sat down on the bank of the Ganges. And by that time, they're gone or they're asleep. People's patience, you know, people's time, it's very crucial. If somebody has got more time, you can spend a little more time. But most of the people, they have very little time, very little patience. Okay, what's the bottom line? You got 10 seconds. Thrill me, you know. What's the punchline? So, sometimes you have to start with the beginning. You start with the end. And at the end, you're at the beginning. So it goes backwards. So it's a little unfortunate, but much people are in this mood. They're in this mindset. Okay, what's it? What's the bottom line? How much? And then from there, you work backwards. And at the end, you're all friendly and nice. You should be friendly and nice in the beginning. But, you know, it's Kali Yuga. Things are backwards many times. So what can we do? You can't change the people, you know? You'll figure that out pretty fast. We cannot change the people. What's our circle of influence? Who can we? What can we change? Any suggestions? This is our circle of influence. This is who we can change. That's where we can make a huge difference, a world of a difference, changing our consciousness. And you know what's interesting? You know what's funny? If our consciousness changes, the universe changes. Because the universe will rearrange itself, it will realign itself to suit your strong desire. If you have a strong desire to serve Guru and Krishna, even though you might be in the wrong place, at the wrong time, with the wrong kind of people, you will make a substantial difference. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever been in a situation like that? Where externally speaking, you could say, this place was hopeless. There's nothing you could do here for preaching. You ever faced a situation like that? Where it was very difficult? But because your consciousness was dedicated and pure, you could actually make something happen. Happens all the time. I remember one time I was distributing books in Vevey, Switzerland, on the Lake of Geneva. It's where the headquarters of Nestlé is. Have you heard of Nestlé? Not just condensed milk. They sell 1 billion products a day. 1 billion products a day. So, and Charlie Chaplin also lived there. And Prabhupada liked him. You know that Charlie Chaplin got a Bhagavad Gita? One of Prabhupada's disciples, Jai Gurudev, he knew the lady who worked for the chaplains, for the family. So he gave her a Bhagavad Gita to give it to Charlie Chaplin's daughter. And she gave it to him. And then she said that in his last days, she always saw him sitting in his rocking chair reading the Bhagavad Gita before he died. So that means Charlie Chaplin movies are bona fide. No. Erase that. Okay? Take it off the tape. Prabhupada watched it, he liked it, but it doesn't mean that we have to do it. The point was, it was snowing and raining at the same time and there was a strong wind blowing from the side. Now, I don't know how many of you have experienced snow in your life. Show of hands. It's about 3 or 4, okay? Switzerland, now it's still about 3 degrees and there's still snow. So, this much snow. It's that white stuff, you know, which falls from the sky. Now, if it rains and snows at the same time, that's kind of terrible. But if the wind is blowing, it comes from the side. So you cannot even wear an umbrella. So you just get wet and cold the whole day. So I was on a big parking lot. There's about 3,000 cars. It's a huge parking lot on the lakeside. And people park there, and then they run as fast as they can into the stores. So what I used to do is, I had a pile of books. I couldn't carry an umbrella, so I just put it off. I just get wet and cold. And we work about 10, 12 hours per day in those days. And you just go up to the window, and you knock on the window, and you say, "Hello, thank you for being out here. It's a lovely day today, isn't it? It's beautiful. So this is for all the nice people who came out here because it's such a beautiful day. Please take it and give a donation." And by the time the people see me and they see me smile, they would all just take books. I distributed 300 Mahabig books in that day. And it was raining and snowing. Now I know other people who have distributed books in very, very difficult circumstances. Like in Russia, they go to the coal mines and the gold mines. You know, for people, they work underground. You ever been in a mine? It's, you know, way deep down. And where the people, the workers come out to take their showers, it's a dirty place, you know. There's like a lot of steam and clothes and dirt. And they put book tables there, like what you do in the factories sometimes. And they just show them the whole sets. And these workers, you know, they're all black. They come like from hell. They look like Yamadutas. And I mean, they can't even touch the books. They're so dirty. But they see this set, and this is so beautiful. So all they have to do is they have to sign their name on a register. And then they get the box, the full set. And then the accounts department will give the money to the devotees. Because they bribe them with cakes and prasadam and books and everything. So, mundane speaking, you would say this is an impossible situation, right? This is not acceptable. It's dirty, it's noisy, it's smelly, it's not very sophisticated people. A friend of mine, Anirdeshyavapu, he distributed several hundred sets in one day. And that's not sponsorships. That's not like a factory owner who takes 5,000 Gitas. That's individual people who sign up to buy a full set of Prabhupada's books. So one day I think he did about 2,000 or 3,000 Mahabig books. In sets, all sets to these people, in such a place, you know. So, where did I get off the topic? Who paid attention? Presentation interaction. What do you say to present the book? So we're going to have a little workshop now for the next 20 minutes to half an hour, depending on how it goes. And what I like you to do is, I like you to take one Bhagavad Gita and present it to the person next to you. You give them a Bhagavad Gita, the way how you would distribute a Bhagavad Gita. And then, once that's done, you swap over. The other person distributes a Bhagavad Gita to you. Okay? Because I want you to do this with all the people in your congregation and all the people in your temple, that you have regular skits and workshops like that. Because the members will ask, "Okay, that's great, I really love this Gita, but how do I distribute it? What do I say? How do I give it to others?" Because there's some very basic things which you can say which are very helpful, and then there are other things which are also nice and great to say. So, the tables are a little bit in the way, so we can't, usually we line people up, you know, in a long line, and we do that. So, but maybe we can have some people here, some in the middle, and some at the end. The books are here, so you please pair up in twos, grab a Bhagavad Gita, and then in 2 or 3 minutes, one person distributes a Bhagavad Gita to the other, and the other person plays like they're a new person, you know? You have the questions and the arguments and the objections like that. And then you swap over. Is the group work clear?
We should assume the other
Newcomer, yes. You play a new person. Can you do that? Please. So far, I know it was very entertaining, but now it's action time. There are Bhagavad Gita's up here in the front. Please move quickly. We want to get the maximum amount out of this. Everybody pair up in teams. Find yourself a quiet corner or spot where you're not disturbed. And you can start immediately. There is no need starting talking. Just immediately start presenting Bhagavad Gita. Here. In the back, there is more men necessary. Okay, who is not yet together? Has everybody a partner? Okay, please start. You're allowed to open the book. You can open the book. Open it. Just. You are allowed to open the book.
Thank you.
You can switch over. If you have not switched over, you can switch over now. Did he buy the book?
Yes.
He did.
He sold me one, I bought one, he bought.
But it was helpful, no?
It is very sweet.
Okay, you got 2 more minutes. Try to wrap it up. You have to get to the punchline. Hare Krishna, please come back to the table. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki. Who distributed one book? And who bought one book? Okay. Did somebody actually give you money? No? No. Otherwise we...
He sold one Bhagavad Gita and he bought one Bhagavatam.
He bought one Bhagavatam said. Jai! Now that's what I call book distribution, you know? Okay, we saw a lot of good energy there, no? It, you know, really gets up some enthusiasm. Just doing it in the classroom, what to speak of when you're actually out there in the field. Now, many times you're feeling a little down, you're feeling a little, you know, slightly off, a little despondent. I don't know whether it ever happens to you. Just grab a few books and run out there and distribute them. See what it does to your consciousness. See how you get inspired and motivated. This is a sure method. It pulls you straight out of the modes. You have to get straight out of the modes and your consciousness goes, you just become sharp. Now that's required. So what we like to do right now is, I like to hear some crunch points, some points which really... 11:15, break time. Juice break. Okay, we can do the juice break also 11:30. The juice will still be there. Anyway, it's not good to have it too cold, you know, it's not good for the health. So, I'd like to hear from you, what are the extraordinary things which you heard from your partner, which you didn't think of, or you never heard before, you know, like something unusual, or something which really got you to take the book. So, we start this side. Microphone, please. Just whoever has a point or something which really softened their heart, please share it with the group.
When Rev Thiruman Prabhu was presenting Bhagavad Gita to me, he...
Now, please listen carefully, because this is the best of the best, you know?
So he was very courteous.
Courteous, yeah.
Courteous, and he was very gentle in his approach. And he didn't bring any controversial things. He just glorified the book. This is a very nice book. This is a marathon month. I am from ISKCON, and it will be nice if you take this book. And I asked him what is so special about the book, because I have already got so many Bhagavad Gitas. Then he mentioned to me about Prabhupada, how he is an acharya, how he is coming in disciplic succession, etc. Means it's really soothing to the heart. His presentation is very soothing to the heart. And he appreciated, "You look like a very religious person, sir," he said. Means which...
So he gave you some appreciation.
Yeah, you know, immediately.
So you got him, huh? He bought Bhagavatam set?
Yeah, no. He sold Bhagavatam set.
Oh, he sold you Bhagavatam set. Okay, thank you very much. Anybody else likes to share something? It's not everybody has to speak, but just if you feel like you got some extraordinary points which you like to share with the class.
I was,
you can speak to the class, you don't have to speak to me.
I was representing a German man visiting Tirupati, Rupesh, who doesn't believe in reincarnation, no next life. And then Rupesh gave a very stunning point. He says, reincarnation is not the big thing. It's not the big thing. You're already showing from boyhood to youth. That point was really touching my heart. That it might be possible.
Did you get that point? He was a little apprehensive about reincarnation. So he didn't push it. He didn't say like, "Hey, what's wrong with you? Why don't you believe in reincarnation?" He didn't make a big thing out of it. He just showed him the picture of the changing bodies and said, "Look, child, youth, old man, you know, so it's possible. You always feel like you're the same person, but you're moving through so many different bodies. So it becomes a possibility." Because he was not stuck on the idea of selling him the point of reincarnation. That person bought the book. Next. Whoever has some point which they like to share. Or was it just same old, same old? Anyone? Microphone, please. And also one in the back.
Yes, I could not sell a book, so I was reflecting why I could not sell a book. So he asked a question that why you put this picture on top of Bhagavad Gita? Because in the conversation I was explaining this message, he told, "I am Christian, I am not interested." So I was surprised for me. So So I told, it is for everyone. It is not just only for Christians. It's a life science. It's everybody can learn. Okay, that's all right. But where is Jesus' name mentioned in this? So it is another surprise. So I told, it's actually Jesus is Son of God. So like that, the representatives of God has written this. So there's no difference. You'll find all the teachings here. You'll be happy to see that how the Bhagavad Gita also contains what Jesus is teaching. Then he told, but anyway, so, but why you are putting this picture here, fighting and blood and all those things, if it is something about life. So I told, you go much deeper. This is only action like that, but actually meaning is much deep. So, but we ended there somewhere. Means what I felt is, like how you are telling, when you go to preach, you'll expect the unexpected. So I was just
surprised.
Surprised.
But it was a good experience for you, no?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Please. It works. Just leave it on.
When Mataji was selling book to me, so the important thing I could got impressed, that is the kind of conviction she was having, that if I'm reading this book, my life will be perfect. The kind of eagerness she was showing to me, that is have it, and the and everything she was doing and talking to me so that you can take this book is so beneficial, that attracts me a lot. The conviction and eagerness in her.
Okay, thank you for that. Conviction and eagerness, sold the book. Here it was kindness, appreciation, and a positive attitude. Okay, next. Who else likes to share?
I was trying to act as a tough customer. My partner, Amarendra Prabhu, he was trying to make up the distribution. The continuous persuasion, what he was making, whatever the negative point I was giving, then he was able to come out with something positive out of it. And ultimately, in the end, when I said that all these things doesn't matter, man, only money, money is honey, then he said, okay, you read the last sloka, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, that gives the success and money, and convinced that I should take this book. Then I said, oh, I don't have that money now. My cashier has to come. I don't have any. Then he said, okay, you have the book. You give the money tomorrow after us. I said, no, you take the money and you come and take it tomorrow. He said, yes. And Kuli, he made the repeat visit the next day to take the money and give the book. The persuasion, what he was making out, it was really fantastic.
Jai, Arivo. Anybody else likes to share? What got you motivated, enthused?
So Vanumali Prabhu is showing me Bhagavad Gita. So I came to him and asking for some books like Nalayana Devaprabhu Irka, like Ramana Maharshi Bhagavata Irka, like no, just so he show the Prabhupada Bhagavata and just saying about the importance of Srila Prabhupada Bhagavata. Then I told, I have Bhagavad Gita. Then he explained about the very importance of Srila Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita. Then by continuously is preaching, then I got very much interested. Then I took the book. That conversation was very nice. Because by continuous presentation of that Bhagavad Gita, just have a little interest is there, then surely you'll buy the Bhagavad Gita. As many times I experienced. A opposite person, if has little interest, by continuously giving the information about that Bhagavad Gita, surely will take. So I have seen that here also.
Persistent, constant endeavor. Thank you. Somebody else? Yes, please.
Nitya Mukta Prabhu, he is preaching to me about Bhagavad Gita. Actually, I am an employee. I am working in company. I am a little bit stinky fellow. I don't want to give money to buy the book.
Stingy or stinky?
Stingy.
Stingy. It's two different things. Both.
Both. Yeah. And then I asked how much Bhagavad Gita. It's 150 rupees, he told. Prabhuji, Swami, why can't you reduce the price of Bhagavad Gita? If you make it less, you know, whole, everybody will can buy the Bhagavad Gita. Then he told, see, you are so gentleman. If yesterday one person came, he gave 10,000 rupees instead of donation. Because of that, we are reducing the price. If you give 10,000, we will reduce more tomorrow for, you know, like you people. Then I thought, instead of giving 10,000, why can't you give it 150, you will get the Bhagavad Gita. I taken Bhagavad Gita for 150 rupees.
Arivo, thank you for sharing.
Hare Krishna. When Uddhava Chodas Prabhu was distributing book to me, I was just, as you said, it's a newcomer. I was just arguing that I don't want this book, what is special and all these things. Then I said, the people says that if you keep the books, there will be a fight in the house. So that's what I argued like that. So he said, logically he said, even if you don't have the book, do you think that there is no fight? So that's convinced, this is logic actually. It's people think that if you keep this book, there will be a fight. So even if it is not, there is no book at all.
But,
We come across in Tirupati, especially even when I went once out in Tirupati.
Maybe we should publish one edition with different picture.
Yeah, the one with the Lord blessing Arjuna.
Yeah, maybe something that, like that. That.
Okay. Many they feel this actually when you have this picture of Krishna and Arjuna on the Rath. There will be a lot of problems in the family.
So you just tell the BBT and they will print a different picture?
In that picture is there. We get those books also.
Huh?
We get those books also we have. Telugu.
Yeah,
we have.
Telugu. Or like in English they have the small one now. Krishna and Arjuna.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Somebody else?
Actually not here when I distributing towns in practically, people are so many misconceptions in Bhagavad Gita. Not a picture actually. It's a battlefield Krishna and Arjuna spoken. So this battlefield, this conversation held. Therefore we don't keep in our house. So, because in the Bhagavad Gita spoken with the battlefield, no? So our house is a battlefield. Like that they are feeling sometimes. And another one information I got, some people are telling me, don't keep Krishna, like fruit Krishna in your house. He swipe all the things in your house and you become zero. Like that people are thinking.
What was that? I didn't catch
fruit,
that.
Fruit Krishna. Venugopal. Yeah. Picture you do not care, picture or deity you should not keep in your house.
Why?
So Krishna will goes away everything.
Fruit will blow all your valuables.
Hari! Hari, Hari! Yeah? So that's why we don't put Krishna with the flute.
And another experience.
We put Krishna with the chariot.
Always there is some
famous photo
And another one experience.
So
I went to
that he may blow out.
Yeah.
I went to door to door distribution. I went on house. There is a husband, wife, children, everybody is in front room. Then I speak to the family member, husband. See, very interested. I saw all the details about Bhagavad Gita. He came and said, okay, Swamiji, wait and bring money. And he went inside the room. Suddenly, the wife and children went inside, so spoke something. Then he came back, Swamiji, I have no money to borrow. I was very surprised. He very interested. His family members are convinced him, don't buy this.
Okay, you can see there is always some challenging situations and some objections, some hardships, some struggles. We will deal with those and we will get into these challenges mainly tomorrow in lesson number 2. Today we just deal with straight presentation. All the challenging effects we'll deal with tomorrow. Some of them this afternoon in customer care and assessing our performance. Now, did you find this very helpful? Did you get something out of it? Okay. So what I'd like you to do right now is I'd like you to go for your juice break and be back here at 11:45. Can you do that for me? please. Srila Prabhupada ki. Arrivo. So please be back here on time. You got a little more than 15 minutes, 11:45, 42nd session of today, where we're continuing on psychology and basic skills of book distribution. Okay, we're commencing. Can somebody tell the people outside that it's starting? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Welcome back to the second session of today. We're going to speak about psychology of book distribution and continuing on the basic skills, because we have started on it, but we haven't finished it. First is a quote by Srila Prabhupada. The fact is that we have to adopt the same tactics as ordinary salesmen adopt. But the difference is, we do it for the satisfaction of Krishna, and they do it for sense gratification. And Srila Prabhupada also said about techniques, our only technique is to be very devout followers of the rules and regulations. Many times when devotees went to Prabhupada and asked him, Prabhupada, how can we increase our book distribution? Srila Prabhupada would tell them, you just sit down and you chant your 16 rounds without stopping. That's the most powerful technique to increase your book distribution. So you just try that. Now, I went around the room and I saw a lot of good energy. And I heard and I saw a lot of things which inspired me in the interactions between the devotees. Now, what I like to do is, I like to show you a short little presentation on how I present Bhagavad Gita, what I have picked up from many expert distributors over the years. Now, I will tell you, and you will see some of the aspects are a little more Western, some of them are a little bit more suitable for India. It really depends on the time, place, and circumstance. But the basic framework, the basic structure is pretty much the same. So, first thing you have to do is, you have to actually approach the person, or if you're at the book table, the person will come and approach you. Or you go door to door, same thing. So the initial introduction, the initial scenario is different. But from the point of where the person is close to you, first thing you do is you make eye contact. Then what's the next thing you do? Wish them. Welcome them. Yes. Well wishing, yes. Say hello, welcome to Tirupati. Thanks for coming up here. Great you could make it, you know. We really appreciate you came all the way to this place. And you can do that anywhere. You know, you can do that anywhere. You can be in downtown Chennai or whatever. You know, thank you for coming here. You know what it does to the, it appreciates the person. And then, immediately after that, put the book in their hand. How many times have you seen the devotee not putting the book in their hand, but keeping the book themselves in their hand and talking? And then what's the effect? The person doesn't take the book. Because the conversation goes on, and at the end the person thinks, okay, thank you, I've heard enough, now I can leave. Because the book was not really in the front, but it was about the talking. So they'll say, okay, if I want to talk more, I'll come and see you. But the book was never really the issue. So if you, at the end, you say, okay, and by the way, buy this, the person will say no. Now you have to know, if a person says three times no, they will not take the book. If they say three times yes, they will take the book, most likely. So try to invoke a positive response from the person. Try to get people to give you positive response. Just like here, you show the book to people and you ask them, Bhagavad Gita, have you heard of Bhagavad Gita? They say, yes. You ask them, have you read some of Bhagavad Gita? Yes. Do you like Bhagavad Gita? Yes. Can you take a Bhagavad Gita? Yes. You understand? That's a psychology. But like in the West, you ask many people, Do you like to read? No. You believe in God? No. You want to buy this book? No. These are closed-ended questions. Closed-ended questions is yes or no answers. I only ask these types of questions if I want to get rid of a person. Do you have 100 rupees? No. Okay. That's what I do if I want to get rid of a person. I ask a question like that. Other people, I ask them, well, how are you doing? You can't say yes or no. You have to actually start speaking, you know? You have to get some response. There has to be a flow of communication. It's very important. If you just stay with the yes and no and yes and no, it doesn't really go anywhere. Because the person will still keep that defense mechanism, you know, that boundary wall will still be there. So you have to get them to lower that. So, and how do you do that? By invoking a positive response and by letting the person talk a little bit. So you ask them, so where do you come from? Do you ever ask that people up on the hill? So where do you come from? And everybody, what's the most pleasing sound in the whole world? It's the sound of your own voice and talking about yourselves truly. Right? So if you give them the chance to say something about themselves, they will love you for that. They will really love you for that. So you just ask them, where you come from? And then they say this and that place. And you say, great, wonderful. And you appreciate them. And thanks for coming here all the way. You know? Now this is for all the people who have traveled that far to come to Tirupati. So they're qualified. You know, you qualify them. You say, you're qualified. You're special. You're a VIP. You might be waiting 20 hours in line to see Balaji, but you're a VIP. Why? You made it up here. There's 7 billion people on the planet. How many make it up here? Only a fraction. So, everybody wants to be recognized. Everybody wants to be special. Everybody wants to be praised. And everybody loves to talk about themselves. So use that. This is basic human tendency. What did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? Can somebody tell us in 5 sentences what kind of a strategy did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu use with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? Come on, you all read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not only did he hear him, what did he tell him? He said, you're a great scholar, I'm a fool. What else did he say? Yes, but to Sarvabhauma. He said, you're my guru. You're my teacher. And he had him talk to him. Vedanta Sutra. And in this way he won his heart. That's what got him. So sometimes you have to do that with people. Now you may not have 7 days because we do not have the patience. We do not have the patience like Mahaprabhu, right? That we say, okay, for 7 days, just, you know. And then at the end we say, you know, whatever you say, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So we're not that patient. But a little bit of patience has to be there. Now you might say, I'm not interested where this person is from. I'm not interested why he's here and whether he's here alone or with his family. I'm not interested what his job is. You know what's the response? The hard truth is, well then that person is not going to be interested in your book. That's as easy as it is. Because if you don't care about me, I'm not going to be caring about you. If you can't be nice to me, I won't be nice to you. Because it's tit for tat. That's the name of the game. That's how it works. And if you show people appreciation, interest, courtesy, you're nice with them, you smile to them, all of a sudden, it's a nice, beautiful world out there. And everybody really behaves and really appreciates you. So it really makes a world of a difference. Because the way how you shout into the valley or into the forest, that's the way how it shouts back at you. Because what goes around comes around. That's our philosophy. It's the law of karma. So what I do when I meet people is, the first thing is, I kind of greet them in whatever cultural way, you know, whatever is the way of greeting people. But just so to project energy. I just project positive energy. And usually then they reciprocate. And if not, let them go. Don't worry about it. There is enough people who are ready to reciprocate. If you see somebody wants to avoid you, somebody doesn't want to take the book in their hand, most likely they will not take it. Don't bother. You know, maybe they're not ready. Like that. Don't waste the time. So, then, that's in the basic approach. Drawing people's attention, presenting the book, eye contact, gesture, and speech. Sometimes you have to use all the three. You have to gesture, you have to look, and you have to speak. Hello, you, I'm here. Something's going on, because people are all over the place. So you have to actually make some contact with them. And then present the book as soon as possible. Don't just start talking and talking and talking. You might say, oh, welcome, where are you from? Okay, very nice, here, have a look. We're showing these to all the people who are visiting. Immediately introduce the book. Utmost importance. Then next comes, if you have any questions, please just raise your hand. Yes.
Sometimes it is found, you mentioned that you give the book, right? In the hand of the person.
Mm.
And then he takes the book and he starts opening the pages and reads himself.
No, I don't do that.
No, the person...
Yeah, wants to open and read.
Yeah, he opens and he reads.
Mm.
And then you speak.
Okay.
And it doesn't make sense to him what you speak.
Okay.
Or you can't let him read.
No.
Just let him read.
I guide the conversation.
Huh?
I am guiding the conversation. I don't allow him to space out and to do whatever he wants.
No, but the moment you give the book, he just opens and starts reading.
No. I don't do like that. When I put the book in his hand, like that, I tell him, like in the West, I say, book on yoga and meditation teaches you how to get free from stress. Have you heard of stress before? Really? But you look very peaceful. What's your secret? Really? So, immediately, I ask questions, and he has to respond. You see, whoever asks the questions is in control of the conversation. If you're asking the questions, you're in control of the conversation. If you let the other person ask the question, then they're in control of the conversation. So I ask the question, I'm in control of the conversation. I don't let the person space out and start going like this and like that. I guide him through the how it works. Now there's a little flexibility there sometimes, you know, you can't be too rigid. But that's the general mood, that you're in control of the situation. Now in India you might do it differently, you might not use the line. But I've tried it and it works well in India also because stress has become a factor. It has become a part of everybody's life. Or you tell them, Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, the most sublime scripture. We're showing this today here for all the pilgrims, for all the fortunate people who came here. So, are you a pilgrim?
Yes.
You see, remember what I said about positive response? Now it might sound very basic or stupid, like... Obviously, of course he's a pilgrim. You're up there on the hill, right? I mean, what else? Why else is he here, you know? Like, I go door to door. I knock on people's houses. You know what I ask them when they open the door? I ask them, do you live here? It's not very complicated, but it works. You know, human relations, it's not very sophisticated. But it works, you know? You have to learn how to be simple and straightforward. And people will love you for that. Just thank people. Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming here. Have a look at this. And then, next thing, before they start opening, I flip it around to the backside. And I show them, I tell them, Thoreau, Emerson, Mahatma Gandhi, have you heard of these people?
Yes.
Yes, of course, especially Gandhiji, right? Here in India. So, they have studied this book. It's always good to drop a few names, you know. So if they're reading this, then you can read this too. Because he was the big guy, you know. So, and who is this? This is Srila Prabhupada. He is the translator and commentator on this Bhagavad Gita. Now, why is it Bhagavad Gita as it is? And why is his picture on the book? Because you can tell them that in the English language, there is more than 400 editions, different editions of this book, of the Bhagavad Gita. Now, Bhagavad Gita as it is the most widely used edition in all the universities around the world, and is the most widely read and distributed Bhagavad Gita around the world. And you can show them some of the reviews by the universities. You may have heard of Georgetown University or University of Southern California. So you can say all over the world where people study Hinduism, Sanskrit, Indology, Indian culture, they're using this book as a textbook. Now use that word, textbook, because that pushes a button in people's heads. Which button? You know, I've been in school, I've been in college, I know what textbooks are. So they really value it. Because if you go to the store and you buy a textbook, how much does a textbook cost? It's big money, right? So they already put this book up there with the textbooks. So they know, number one, it's bona fide. Number two, it's expensive. Number three, it's serious. It's really solid content. This is not just some guy who's trying to do something here, you know. Then, next thing is, so I tell him, he has translated and commented upon it, and this is such a unique presentation because he's not just a scholar, but he's actually following the tradition. He's actually practicing this tradition of the Bhagavad Gita, which is very unique, which nobody else actually is doing. That's why this is Bhagavad Gita as it is. And even though so many editions of Gita are out there, and you don't have to tell them that you already have so many bogus Gitas at your house. You don't have to rub it in, you know. But you just mentioned that there's so many other translations of the Bhagavad Gita, but they're not actually in the spirit of the Bhagavad Gita, because they're not actually following the line of Bhagavad Gita. But you don't have to say that necessarily, because as you said, you know, it's better to stay on the positive side of the planet than to go into the negative stuff. What I usually do then is, and I've seen some of you do it, and it was great to see. Like, you showed the parampara from Krishna to Arjuna, down to Prabhupada, all the different acharyas. So how this is Guru Parampara. Then the Sanskrit. This is very unique. There's hardly any Gita which has Devanagari, transliteration, word for word, translation and purport. Practically hardly any presentation of the Gita like this. So this is very scientific. Because many, they can read a little bit and they know a little bit Sanskrit. So they will find this very helpful. Then next thing I do is I show them the pictures. Not all of them, but just some of them. Like in this Gita, this picture is not there. But there's the changing body, you know, the usual changing body picture. And then I ask them, where are you on this? And then they go, I'm the young guy. And I go, I'm the old guy. I'm already going down on that side. Like that. You know, like, connect the book to the person. Make them attached. Make them attracted. So, ask them some questions. Remember, he who asks the questions is in control. He leads the conversation. You don't have to ask them, do you believe in reincarnation? No need. Because, number one, either they do or they don't. Your 5 seconds of communication here will not change the fact in what they believe in. But just, you know, food for thought. Just throw things out there. Then, I use this one quite a lot because people like it. The soul, the mind, the senses, you know. We're not really that much in control of our body and of our lives unless we understand how the whole thing works. Just get them to appreciate that. Then the yogi is meditating. So I always do that with everybody. I ask them, what's your job? What do you do for a living? And the guy says, I'm a mechanical engineer. And I say, you know what? That's funny, because he was a mechanical engineer too. They really like that one, you know, they really crack up. Everybody loves that. You know, he was a mechanical engineer too. But, you know, he renounced and he became a yogi. But, you know, there is different types of yogis, because this is the impersonal yogi. But then here, we're also, usually in the other English Gita, you have the bhakti yogi with the paramatma, the big super soul on top of it, you know? Huh? Different. Yeah, let's see whether we find it in here, because this book is... No, this is also old. So, yeah. You show them. Okay, so here we got our mechanical engineer. And, but, you know, you can also... bhakti yogi, like that. Huh? Architect, yeah. They like that. So you can also continue in whatever you're doing in life and worship the Lord. That's also quite possible. So, remember, nowadays, bottom line is fun. They crack up. They start laughing. Bottom line nowadays is, if it's fun, if it's sense gratification,
they'll do it.
That's the way it is. If you're fun, I want to be with you. If it sounds good, I'll do it. If it tastes good, I'll buy it. If it smells good, I'm into it. If not, then no. So even though we're talking here Bhagavad Dharma, spiritual knowledge, you know, Srila Prabhupada was very funny. You know, he had a unique sense of humor. Like you saw how he dealt with those interviewers. You saw how he was chuckling, how he was smiling, how he was like, you know. And it was very subtle. But there was a lot of humor there, you know? He did not get disturbed or why do you ask where we get the money or this or that. He just, you know, he just started smiling. Because he knew that mindset, that mentality. And then he just went on presenting. And even the guy continued talking about the money thing. Prabhupada just went on preaching about his books, you know. So, use money in Krishna's service. And use humor also in Krishna's service. You can use everything in Krishna's service. Now I know some of you are very funny, some of them are more dry, some of you are more serious, some of you are more kind, some of you are more determined, some of you are more gentle. Whatever quality the Lord has given to you, use that in His service. And it will be perfect. Never think that, oh, I'm not so communicative, I'm not so extrovert, you know, I can't really do this. No. Then use your quality, your seriousness, your sincerity, your gravity. Use that to attract people to Krishna consciousness. Because you have to work with what you have. You can't imitate somebody else. You can't be me, I can't be you, we can't be him. Everybody has to be who they are. That's authentic. Using whatever talent you've got in Krishna's service. And Krishna will empower you. Krishna will help you. So I go through the pictures. And then I also show him at the end, there's a big index and glossary and all these things. So that's the interaction. And I usually ask them, are you more a philosopher or more a spiritual person? Now here if you have pilgrims, you know, it's kind of, you might say, not necessary. But in a city environment, it kind of is. Because you want to find out, what is this person all about? What gets this person motivated, interested? How do you find out? You just ask them. It's very simple. You just have to ask them. But instead of asking them, what do you like? Or what kind of books do you read? You phrase it in such a way that very easily you can connect it to Bhagavad Gita. I don't mind whether a person is a philosopher or more a spiritual person, because the bottom line is he's going to walk away with the Bhagavad Gita. But I give him the... I give the person the chance to express his own desires, express his own mind, and make the person feel like he's in control. You know? That he is saying what's all happening here. Like I was in Bali, in a mall in Kuta, and I had a young person, and I showed him the book and said, Yoga Meditation, How to Get Free from Stress. And a person said, I'm not interested in that. So I asked him, so then what are you interested in? And he said, I'm interested in God, I want to know who God is and how I can love God. And I said, wonderful. I have a different book for you. So I took that book back and I gave him a different book and said, this is all about God and how to love God. He said, wonderful, how much? And he bought it. So don't be too complex. Don't be too complicated. You know? The person says, I'm not interested in that. Just ask them, what are you interested in? Very easy. Like sometimes people say, oh, I'm not very religious. Or I'm not so much this, or I'm not so much that. Then instead of going against them, which usually doesn't get you anywhere, you just ask them. They say, I'm not very religious. So ask them, what do you understand? What's your understanding of religion? Or what do you mean by religious? So you let them rephrase, you know? Answer a question by asking a question. Sometimes people ask you, is this Hinduism? Are you a Hindu? Then you ask them back, well, what do you understand under Hindu? Understand? You just ask the question back. You rephrase it and you throw it back into their court. Throw the ball back into their court. And then usually the question dies. You know why? Because they don't know the answer. And that the question wasn't the point. They just wanted to make some argument. But because you didn't pick up on it, you didn't become upset or angry or started yelling and screaming, you just phrased it back to them. That was it. That was the end of it. He's satisfied. Next point. You move on. Many times it's like that. Like you're in management position. How many times a day or a week do you have people who come to you, who want to talk to you, and simply by hearing them out, by listening to them, and by saying, like, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, what you're trying to tell me is like this, like this, like this. Or in other words, this is your situation and you feel like this and like that. Just by reciprocating like that, problem is solved most of the time. Have you ever noticed that? Just by listening to the person and taking what they have to say, the problem is over, and then we can actually move on with life. That's what it takes. But as soon as you cut them off and you say, no, that's the problem. It's like this, it's like that. And you throw the solution at them. Then they stall. And you got a conflict. And you can't move any further. I don't distribute books by arguing with people, by smashing them, by defeating them, by doing all these different types of psychological strategies. I distribute most of my books simply by endearing people, by making people favorable, by making them attractive, by making them interested. That's the way how I distribute most of the books. Whatever that takes. So approach and opening. The main thing is the book has to go into their hand. After that, you say something about the book. And you ask questions. Now in different cultures, the questions are different. So that's why we have some stuff here which is not relevant for you, but you get the idea. You ask appropriate questions which the person can answer in a positive way and which they feel comfortable about. So the main point is listen to the person without getting distracted and remain calmly in control. That's the bottom line. So standard mantras are useful, especially for less experienced devotees. Many times when devotees go out, they don't know what to say. And they feel kind of shy, you know, inhibited. I don't know what to say. So you have to give them what's called a mantra. Just a basic mantra, a basic standard form on what to say. 5 or 7 lines. You say like this, like this, like this, and like this, and it will work. In 80% of the cases, it will work. And then eventually they will build up their own repertoire. They will build up their own style and presentation. Main point is make the person feel comfortable and lead a smooth conversation. If the person's comfortable, they will drop their guard. You know what that means? Their defense system will be dropped. And you will not speak to the defense or to the false ego, but you'll actually speak to the soul. You'll actually start speaking to the guy. And not just to his ego. Because talking to egos is not so much fun, you know. But talking to the person, that's actually what we're trying to get at. And how does that happen? By making the person feel comfortable. When do you feel comfortable? When you're appreciated. When else? When do you feel comfortable? Somebody listens to you. Somebody values you. The frequency matches. Trust is there. All these things. So by any one of these things, you can get the person to feel comfortable and to drop their guard. And then, whoosh, you access. Huh? Like Arjuna on the battlefield. So many times, you know, all these different strategic formations and Akshahinis and this and that. Hmm? Very difficult. Very difficult. Extremely difficult. So for him to get through, like to kill Jayadrath, he had to get past everybody. It was almost impossible. Because there's so much obstruction. And sometimes we feel the same like in preaching, you know. It's like Jayadrath is on the other side of the needle formation, you know. The person is all the way at the end. And how am I going to get from where I am to where that person is? But the funny thing is, you know, if you use one very simple and basic technique, you will get right to the end, right to the bottom. That's the access code. How can you access? Who knows? What's the access code? Trinadapi sunichena toririvasahishtuna amanina manadina kirtaniya sadahari. If we see ourselves as the humble servants, we can always access this person and connect with them. Big people, small people, interested people, not so interested people, intelligent people, not so intelligent people. Just by being sincere, you can usually access that person quite easily. And you bypass all their defense. So you speak clearly and at appropriate volume, not too loud, not too silent. You present the books in a positive and attractive way. Repeat key phrases as necessary. Sometimes you have to repeat the same thing a couple of times. And you come back to the same point. That's not a problem. It's good. Because the person will actually get it. And then, securing a donation and closing. Now there's different styles. I know here you got a fixed price. And it's quite easy, and you just say, this is 70, this is 100, this is that. But what you still can do, because you get a lot of times this, you know, why this is so expensive, or why can you give it cheaper, or can I have a discount? You just ask the person, if you would go to a bookstore and purchase this book, how much do you think it would cost you? You go to Crosswords, or you go to any bookstore, Oxford's. How much do you think this book would sell for? 400 rupees, yeah. Then I tell them yes. But today is your lucky day. Because today, we're not selling these books. We're giving these books for all the special people who come here today on pilgrimage. And we just get donation to cover the printing. How much is English Gita? 150. So 150. So that's a third of the price. That's a bargain. You know, so they already know, okay, it would be 400, I got it for 150. But if you say 150, he'll try to get it for 100. You can be for sure. Because that's the mentality, right? That's the mindset. But if they already heard, actually it would be 400, but now he's giving it for 150, then they just accept it. It's always good to put their, you know, their appreciation level up. Because unfortunately in Kali Yuga, everybody equates appreciation with money. Whatever is expensive, that's what's valuable. It's a monetary type of thing. So, instead of just presenting one book, you can also present a few books and try to get a package deal or sell them an entire set. Because if people say yes, they will also say yes to the whole set. Like sometimes you have people, they're very positive and they just go, yes, 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 yes. Just give him the whole set. What's the problem? You know, he said yes. Yes means yes. mention normal price of the books and our cost. You can try to inspire people to give more. You say, like sometimes people say, I already have this book. Then you say, give it as a gift to somebody else. They may say, I may not like, or I can't do that, or whatever. Then you say, you can give a donation, and I will give it as a gift to somebody else. Many people will say, yeah, sure, that's a good idea. You know that in the Middle East, I mean, we'll speak about that tomorrow, different methods and styles of book distribution. We have to be concise here and stick to the points. Okay. Any questions on basic skills? Approach, interaction, and closure. Yes. Microphone, please.
Sometimes in bookstores, Prabhuji, some people will come and we will give the book to their hands and we are supposed to explain about the book. Immediately they'll see and stop. We know everything. And he'll start reading. At that time, what we have to tell to that person? It's very serious.
They say we know everything.
Yeah. I'm seeing the book. Don't talk anything.
Don't talk anything.
What we have to break that person? We have to come to that track.
You open up. Usually I say, you know everything. Well, please accept my humble obeisances. You must be God. I mean, that's wonderful. like that. Just, you know, what can you say? If a person says, I know everything, then why do you read books if you know everything? I mean, I'm not so much familiar. Somebody has a good argument for that? I don't meet that many people who say that they know everything.
Basically, when we are explaining the importance of that Bhagavad Gita, they told that we know the importance of Bhagavad Gita, but we are seeing the content in this Bhagavad Gita. So, actually, I saw in my book distribution, when you leave them like that, they will read one or two pages and they buy that book and they will go.
They will?
Read the pages, one or two pages they will read.
And then they will drop it and go. They will not.
They will buy the book and they go.
They will buy it?
Buy the book.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you allow them to read?
Yeah.
No problem.
If I interview means no, he will think that disturbed.
Yeah.
And he thought
because
that
some people they're very stubborn, you know? You can see that if you say anything, that's bad. So don't say anything. Because you'll only turn it into worse. Just give him the respect and the time they need. They'll read. In the West, it's different. If a fellow is like that means he's really arrogant. Here it means he may know already something. And he thinks himself to be very serious. So he doesn't want you there, you know, to interfere in his thing. So
many people, they believe the words in the book more than our preaching.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's good. So let him.
That's why now when we show the same sloka, that last sloka, Yatra Yogi Sura Krishna, if we say, without showing that book, if we say that is different, showing that book and telling that is different.
It's different.
Yeah, they believe that more. When we show the book, when we show that slokas,
Very good.
Believe that book.
So that's why we have to study Bhagavad Gita and learn all these slokas. That when you know, oh, I have a person like this, I have a person like that, show him this shloka, show him that shloka. Like I had a guy, he said, you know what? I'm not into religion and all this business. I showed him 1866, Sarva Dharmam Parityajya, Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Give up all religion. He said, that's great, I'll buy this book. Never mind, even if it's God saying, give up all processes of religion. He liked it. He bought it. You understand? So, you have to know which shloka connects with which argument. And you let them read that. In the West, usually, if they want to start reading the book, it's over. It's game over. It's finished. Because they can't appreciate. You know, it doesn't really make sense so much to them. So, you can't just let them off reading. You have to really stick to it and follow it through. Because any time you take away the attention, the thing falls and it's over. So, but because here there is more knowledge, there is more culture, there is more exposure already, so you can have a little longer leash. You know leash? You can give them a little more rope. But in the West you have to keep them very close, very tight. Otherwise it's not going to happen. Any other points? Okay, we're moving on to the second part, which is psychology of book distribution. You have that in your student handbooks, but you don't have to turn to there. It's on pages 16 and 17. And it involves speaking to people and finding out their areas of interest. Now you might again say this is not so much relevant for India because you just speak on Bhagavad Gita. But actually, nobody minds if you ask them a nice question. Everybody likes to talk. Everybody likes to say something about themselves. The main point is how to connect the book with the person. Now, how do you do that? We know the book, but we don't know the person. To know the person, you have to ask a couple of questions. You might also just see the person, and with experience and with the super soul intuition, you will know something about the person. After a few years of Sankirtan, you just see a person coming, you will know their job, you will know their status, you will know their position, you will know their economic situation. Because you just know by experience that comes with the service. But initially you don't know, so you have to ask. And then you'll find out. Nobody will mind. Like if people ask you, what's your profession? What do you do for a living? You don't mind, right? Nobody minds. It's normal. But then you don't get involved into all the details. You just, in general, like that. But it gives the person the feeling, hey, you know, he's interested in me. He likes me, like that. So, involve people in a conversation by asking the right questions. Don't ask questions which invite a negative response. Be personal and actually care for people and speak from the heart. Now this sounds pretty basic, right? But a lot of times we fall short of that. We don't really connect with people on a personal level. We keep it very stereotype. Use of praise is helpful to make people feel good. Show you appreciate them. Don't be artificial. Be sincere and really mean what you say. Otherwise people will feel that this is just, you know, some sort of blah blah trying to get your attention. Use of language. Speak clearly and assertively with loud enough voice. Articulate your voice as not to sound flat, boring. Encourage sharing of ideas and realization. Use of humor. We already spoke about that. Use mantras effectively. Key phrases. We touched on it, physiognomy and body language. Now, okay, here is something. You're here at the book table in Tirupati. There's usually families, right? I spoke to Revati Raman Prabhu before in the break. He said usually there's a team. It's not just one person because they go on the pilgrimage together. So what do you have to do? Because there's eight people standing in front of you. Who do you talk to? Who do you give the book to? You have to find out who's the leader. Who is in charge? Now, who is in charge? You tell me. Huh? Somebody says who has interest. He says father. Any other opinions? Sometimes mother. He who has the money. It's the golden rule. Whoever has the gold, he makes the rules. Who can control the others? I tell you, it's all of these. All of these people are the key people. So you have to deal with all of them. Sometimes in a team, you have the smart guy, the funny guy, the critical guy, the antagonistic guy, the leader. You have all of them, all the scenarios. So first thing, find out who is in charge. Because every group has somebody who's in charge. Now, I don't know about here, but in the West, you just ask, who is in charge here? And they will all say him or her. It happens naturally. Here, I think culturally, you just have to perceive. You just have to feel it. Now, generally, what I do in such a situation is, I give the book to the husband, to the man, because that's the culture. But then, immediately, you can see in the pecking order, you know pecking order? The birds, they have a pecking order, you know? So, you can see who is really in charge. or who has the money, or who makes the decision. Maybe it's him, maybe it's his wife, maybe it's the mother, maybe it's the uncle, whoever. You have to find that out, because that's your man or your woman. That's the person who makes it or breaks it. So even though you give the book to the husband, because that's the culture, you don't give the book to the lady, you give the book to him. And you speak to him, but you're talking to her. You ever tried that? Like, you know that example? If the mother wants to instruct her daughter-in-law, she talks to her daughter. Because she can't say things directly to her daughter-in-law, because it will not be appreciated. So she instructs her daughter in order to teach the daughter-in-law. So sometimes, you know, social circumstances are like that. Hare Krishna. And then many times you have to find out, like, two people stand there and are really interested, but the rest continues running. Then I ask them, who has the money? Hey guys! Back here! Come! Because you can preach and do everything 10 minutes, but the money just left, you know? You ever had that situation? Huh? And you're enthusiastic and everything, and it's really happening. And the guy, the money is gone, you know? He's gone. And you didn't realize it. So right there in the beginning, when they stop, you have to ask them, who is the money? And then they say, hey, Sanju, here, come. Like that. You understand? Otherwise, it's too late. He's already gone. It's important. These are all little things which you think are not important, but they are important because they really make a difference. Yes?
In a group situation, what is it if you hand over everyone?
Well, in a group situation, like if it's a family, I wouldn't give everybody a book. Because usually they share, no? Usually they take together. Or you give them different books. That's my understanding. In the West, if it's just friends or colleagues, or then you can give everybody the same book. But here, if it's a family, you wouldn't want to... Different book, yeah.
Just to make them feel comfortable.
Yeah, so they're busy, so they have something. So they also feel like they're involved in the whole thing. The main thing is, give everybody some attention. Not too much, because otherwise the boss will not like it, you know. But just a little bit, just to keep them happy. So you keep them all happy. Like you've ever seen the Chinese guy on the stage in the circus, and he has those plates with the sticks, and he turns them, you know, and the plates are dancing on the sticks. You ever seen that? Huh? Or the guy who's juggling? Sometimes you like the guy who's juggling in the circus, you know? You have to keep everybody busy. And at the same time, you keep on talking. So it requires a little bit of skill, especially dealing with groups. But if you learn how to do it, 5 books here, 7 books there, 3 books there, 10 books there, books will move like anything. If you learn how to deal with people, you go into companies and you find out who's the top guy, he will get everybody to buy a book. Just because you respected him, you dealt with him in the right way, and you appreciated him. He will go with you to each and every table, to each and every office, and make sure everybody in his company buys a book. Just because you gave him the respect which he deserves, because he's the boss. Or you can try to get him to buy for everybody else. That's another strategy, like that. So these are all things which can be picked up. This is not book distribution 101. This is a little more advanced. This is a little more complicated. But like here in India, because there are so many people and there are so many family units, so you'll have to learn how to deal with family units. Also, if somebody's negative, says something negative, what do you do in such a situation? You just take it back? Or do you actually take a strong stand? What's the culture here? You take it back. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Okay. In the West, the culture is different. Not that you blast them, but sometimes you have to say, well, you know, who is in charge here? I mean, are you old enough to buy a book? Or does this person decide for you? Like that. Because that thing of equality is there, you know, in the Western culture, that everybody's equal and everybody has to make their own minds and make up their own decisions. So you hold them to their policies, you know, Many times they will actually get the courage and buy it. But here the culture is different. Huh? Coming like that. So anyway, you have to find out how it moves. Sometimes you can be a little bit more, but usually they will not appreciate. Like in general, you can have the rule, you can ask 3 times nicely, but if they say no, leave it. Once I was doing crowd control in Mayapur, and Hari Sori Prabhu came to me and told me that Prabhupada told him once that when you do crowd control, you have to push, because that's the job. Crowd control means pushing. But you have to smile. If you stop smiling, people will get angry. They get very upset. But if you smile, you can push a lot. You can push very much. But you have to keep on smiling. Nobody will object. So in the same way, if you're happy and you're smiling and you're distributing books, you can push quite a bit. But you have to be in the proper consciousness, in the proper attitude. But usually people, if they say 3 times no, leave it. Wish them a nice day and move on. Because the bottom line is, leave everybody with a good impression. Leave everybody with a positive impression. These people will come again and again and again, and they will see the devotees again and again and again. And if they have the positive impression from the last encounter, next time, there's a very good chance they're going to get a book. But if that devotee blasted them and fried them, and you can still feel that charcoal, you know, that deep fry, that really heavy charcoal flavor. You meet them sometimes, and you still feel that friedness, you know, in them. It's not very nice. Now I'd like to speak for the remainder of the class, the last 15-20 minutes, about the state of the mind of the book distributor. Because we have talked about some skills, about some techniques, about some psychology, and I know some of you might say, this is all external stuff, we don't have to deal with this, but this is something which I really want you to look at and really take it to heart. Because even if you don't really click with any of what we've said this morning, this is important stuff. Be convinced that people need these books and really want them, because everybody is looking for Krishna. Nitya Sira Krishna Bhakti Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Koryadori. Everybody's an eternal servant of Krishna and everybody's looking for Krishna. Even though they're looking in so many different places, in so many different ways. Actually, everybody's looking for Krishna. Because Krishna is all attractive. They're looking for beauty, they're looking for strength, they're looking for wealth, they're looking for fame, for renunciation, for all the opulences. That's why people read the news. That's why they look at the TV, at the movies. Try to read the gossip, because they want to see who is famous, who is attractive, who is rich. Well, we already know who is most famous, who is most opulent. It's Krishna. So everybody is looking for Krishna. And we can give them Krishna by giving them Prabhupada's books. So that should be the state of mind. And always know that we're not going out there to take something from the people. But we're going out there to give something to the people. There's a huge difference. As long as we think we go out there to get from them, then what happens? People become very apprehensive and they will try to take a distance. But as soon as you start offering something, people will come forward and they will reciprocate. So that's the way how it works. Don't be surprised if it gets tough sometimes, because book distribution means declaring war on Maya. Sometimes everything goes against you. There is negative people, the environment, your mind, your body, things get tough. We'll speak more about challenging situations tomorrow, external and internal. Understand, in a mature world, practicing spiritual life is not an easy thing. And develop the attitude of service, of doing book distribution, simply to please Guru and Krishna. Understand that we are the servants of everyone. Not only of our guru, but we're the servants of everybody. If you want to practice that, book distribution is a wonderful opportunity. Because it really puts you to the test. It puts your convictions, it puts your determination, it puts your realizations to the test. Are you the servant, or do you think you're the master? Do you think you're in control? you're going to be facing a lot of difficulties, a lot of hardship. So the state of mind of the book distributor is something which cannot be underestimated. This should be in the forefront of our presentation. When you speak about book distribution in your yatras, in your temples, in your Sankirtan teams, always discuss this. Prabhu, what's your realization today? Prabhu, how do you feel today? What's the mood? What's the spirit? What's the shloka of today? What gets you motivated? What's your inspiration? Always discuss like that. That's what Sankirtan is all about. Sharing. Satatam kirtayanto mam yadantas chadridavrata namashyantas jamam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. So the devotees are always happily conversing about Krishna and Krishna's pastime and activities and about the service to Krishna and how to improve the service to Krishna. So never feel that we can't speak about this, you know. This is just a job. We just do this job. And then we come home and then we are devotees again. But when we're out there, we're collecting funds or we're cooking or we're... No. Prabhupada was always Prabhupada. No matter where he was consistent. And Prabhupada was a book distributor, you know. When he came to the West, he came with 200 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. First money he had, $20, he got from Captain Pandey because he bought a set of first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Prabhupada lived for an entire year just by distributing Bhagavatam. He had no money. He had nothing. He just survived on books. Maybe we should do that sometimes. You know? Just drop somebody off somewhere with a parachute and a backpack of books behind enemy lines, you know? Send them on a one-way ticket on a train with, you know, backpack or two trolleys, two suitcases of books. See how long can you last till you push that red button, you know? You make that call, get me out of here! Huh? That's a test. Prabhupada was 7 years old and he made that journey simply with the instructions of his guru and with Srimad Bhagavatam. And he persevered, he pushed. And for almost a year, there was no result, practically no result. Nothing happened, tangible. But he continued. And you see sometimes in his diary, you know, where he wrote, oh, okay, went to the market, bought vegetables, 75 cents, bought postage stamps, 25 cents. And he placed books in all the different shops. You know, Prabhupada was very deliberate. He was very, very, very determined to push forward this movement. So we should never think because there is no big results or there is no big happenings that it's not worth it. Oh, why should we bother with book distribution? After all, let people come to the temples. Prabhupada himself, he left the temple to go and distribute his books, to publish and distribute his books. Because he knew that if the books would be there, everything else would follow. And if the books are not there, everything else doesn't really mean that much. It doesn't really have that much substance to it. Because let's face it, if we analyze it in the world, there is so many movements who are practicing spiritual life. Even temples in India who have deities, who do deity worship, right? Nearby, there are so many people who distribute food, who do chanting, who do so many other things, studies, who have universities, hospitals, charities. But what does ISKCON stand for? What are we known for throughout the world? What is it that makes us different? What is it that no one else has? Sankirtan, preaching, Srila Prabhupada's books. Nobody has such a vast amount of spiritual knowledge, such a treasure of information, such a wealth. No other movement has got that. And that's the big difference between the ISKCON movement and all the other movements. And that's why this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will make a difference on the history of this planet for the next 10,000 years. But in order to be part of that legacy, to be part of that history in the making, we have to read Prabhupada's books, we have to live by them, and somehow or other, we should be part of the effort to distribute these books. Somehow or other. And then, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, eventually, we will actually realize Krishna and Krishna's mercy and His magnanimous nature to all living entities. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I'd like to open up the discussion for any realizations. We got 15 minutes left on the clock. I'd like to hear from you some realizations on how Prabhupada's books have made a difference from any of our esteemed members here of the class. Yes, please. Can we have the lights, please?
Hare Krishna. So in the year 1996, when I came here to Tirupati from Bangalore, the situation was not all that good here. We had just one brahmachari and little money. As a businessman...
96?
96, yeah.
One brahmachari?
One brahmachari. So then I was thinking how to make money now, how to run the show here. And as a businessman from Bangalore, and I was doing incense business for Krishna Balaram Temple, this Bangalore temple, then I thought I should start incense business here. Then to get the incense, you need a lot of money. Then I thought, let us start selling cassettes. Again, for the cassettes, you need a lot of money. Then what I do? I was just planning. The best thing is, get the books. I was not interested in books, to sell the books, nor I had the idea. I knew book distribution is good, and I came to the movement by book distribution. Then I thought, let us distribute books and see, because I can get the books free from Bombay. That's all the idea. So I got the books for 35,000 rupees from Mumbai temple. That time it was Narmada Maharaj. Hey, Ravitraman, why you want books for 35,000?
Maharaj is heavy, you know.
He was like... Very heavy, Maharaj. Yeah, Maharaj, you got to distribute, Tirumala, you got to distribute, and there's so many other places here. Okay, but you should pay within 2 months, you know that? So, okay, fine, we got the books.
Because you were a new account, right? He didn't know you.
Yeah.
No track record. Yeah,
exactly. So, we started distributing books. We had a small table in front of the temple, and we were distributing for something like 60 rupees, 70 rupees every day.
Then 60, 70 rupees per day.
Per day. Then I just pushed on because there was nothing else to sell. Then kept selling books. Of course, some of my wife, she was in the front.
Which temple did you put?
Here.
Here,
other than the temple. We had a small temple. So in front of the temple, we had a small table. So keep selling. Then we started selling in Govindaraj temple. There we started getting something like other 70, 80 rupees.
Per day. Did you hear that?
And then slowly the devotees started coming. Like Rupeshwar joined. Like Ramurari came from Nellore. Then I pushed these guys. You go to Tirumala. And you go to Govindaraj temple. And one day they got me 800 rupees. And I was shocked.
How much?
800 rupees.
And you thought like...
I was shocked.
Did they rob somebody? Or, you know, what happened? Somebody lost their money then, on the road? Or...
Then one day, Ramarini brought 2,500 rupees. Then I was surprised. Hey, it's working. Books are working. Not only then the money started coming. Rupeshwar, Ramarini, they were in the front actually. They were doing nice book distribution. And slowly the boys started coming from the book tables.
Mm.
In the course of time, the money started coming from 2,500, it went to 5,000, it went to 10,000, from one brahmachari, three brahmacharis, 10 brahmacharis, 20 brahmacharis, congregation. So I was totally deep in my heart, was convinced it's a miracle. Srila Prabhupada books can do wonders. The whole credit I can give it to Srila Prabhupada, the whole temple manifested, nothing was here. It was like a jungle and full of problems, horrible problems. The whole jungle, today you can see what it is. The credit goes to Srila Prabhupada books. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Srila Jayapata Goswami Maharaj ki.
Jai.
Revati Raman Prabhu ki.
Jai.
Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Gaur
Prabhu. Though I am not a book distributor, but I am fully convinced in my heart that book distribution is the ultimate.
Thank you for that. And Narmada Maharaj, he was very happy with you, isn't it? Narmada Swami? After that?
He was very happy.
One phone call and... Anything you want.
We should get in lorries.
Lorries.
Two lorries, four lorries.
Send it, send it.
From Mumbai, lorries, four lorries.
Credit, no problem. That's how this movement was built. That's how it started. You know how the movement started in Russia? We got 10 minutes. You want to hear?
Yes.
It's a little heavy story, but I think you can handle it just before, you know, to get your appetite going. So, in Russia, Srila Prabhupada went there in the 70s, and he met one boy and he made him a devotee. And after that, there wasn't that much going on. Then different personalities went and preached, and it was very, very difficult. Because, you know, if you don't have books, you can't really do much. So, the early devotees in Russia, I just spoke to one of my good old friends there. Met him in Moscow in the summer and in Mayapur now. They had some books, but, you know, there was no means of printing books because everything was government controlled. Even when Prabhupada used to print first canon of Bhagavatam, he had to get the paper with government sanction because it was rationed, you know, rations. You couldn't just buy paper for printing. So even to get a typewriter, you need to get government approval. You can't just go to the store and buy a typewriter. It's illegal. They're all, you know, marked and noted. What to speak of printing press. So what happened was, in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, there was a lot of protests in Moscow, student protests, because they, you know, the government was very heavy and really oppressive, and the youth wanted to be more westernized, and they wanted more freedom and less of that communism. So many of the other regions started to have conflicts with Moscow. So Georgia, Armenia, Abkhazia, all these stans, you know, all these southern states wanted to break off. So there was big demonstrations and big protests in Moscow. And the police and the military went in there and fought against these people and shot many down. Now there was no media, because media in Moscow meant a few people who sit in a hotel, and if they're allowed out, you know, only on supervised excursions. Everything was very government control. So the devotees got a video camera. Now in those days, a video camera is not like now, you have this little thing, you know, where you... It was this thing, you know? Have you seen the old video cameras? Those huge, massive things. You know, it's like a bazooka. It's like this. They got a video camera and they went and they filmed those protests. Now that's very, very dangerous, because the devotee told me that one time he was videoing and he saw one student photographing another person getting beat up by a policeman. And then another policeman went there and shot the photographer in the head, right in front of him, and killed him, because he was taking photos. Now he was videoing the whole thing. And then the police and army moved in and made a big circle. And it's a really dangerous situation. So he's chanting the Shinga prayers and really intensely praying. And all of a sudden, the circle broke somewhere. Just small gap opening. He put the camera on his back, put his jacket around it, and just ran out. And he got away with the camera. And the other devotee got caught. And they beat him and he went to jail for 4 days. Many devotees were in jail. It was very bad times. You know, in the early 80s, when I got initiated in Mayapur, in the early 80s, there was about 70 empty plates for devotees from Russia who were not present, but they took initiation without being there, you know, on their behalf. Just the plate was there. It was very emotional times. You know, people in jail, people being beaten, people being put into mental asylums and fed psychopharmaca, very heavy drugs, people dying, one lady lost her baby. It's very, very bad times. So then they took that video and sold it to the foreign press for hundreds of thousands of dollars at the risk of their lives. And with that money, they purchased on the black market a printing press. Now, where do you put that printing press? Because you can't just hire a factory or someplace. So what they did was, in the night, they took out the lights in the street and they broke the wall and put the printing press into the devotee's house. and then built the wall up again and put the lights back. So the devotee had the printing press in his own house. Now that's like, sounds like suicide, you know. If anybody finds out about that, you have a printing press in your house and you're printing religious books which are like subversive against the government, I mean, you're history, you're dead, you're finished. They buy paper on the black market and started printing Prabhupada's books. And the KGB was looking for them all over for more than 10 years. And they found out who it was. And later on, he had to run, you know, for his life. Then one time, he went back to his home country, Armenia. And it's far away from Moscow, so things are a little more cool there. But then after 10 years, he came back. And then he was at a police checkpoint. And he looked at the passport and he went to check. And the police officer didn't come back to the car. He thought something is wrong here, you know, something. So he went in there and he saw them talking in the office with the central, you know, command. Yeah, yeah, we got him. He's here, you know, he's out there in the car waiting. What should we do? And they said, yeah, yeah, we'll send the guys, you know. Just wait, just keep him busy like that. We're going to arrest him. So he just ran off and took off from there. He had to be in hiding for so many years. So the devotees have sacrificed so much just to publish Prabhupada's books. Now what's our difficulty? We just wait one phone call, one email, you know, to Bhima in Bombay, and the lorries come, right? It's that easy. Books on credit, no problem, you know. No worries. There was no books. One time a devotee was distributing books in Russia, and he met another devotee on the street selling books, and he asked him, which temple you're from? And that person said, temple? They're temples? So the devotee said, well, how did you get this book? He said, you know, 3 years ago, I met a person like you on the street, and I bought this Bhagavad Gita. And inside this book, it says that you should give this knowledge to others. So I went to the copy shop, and I had photocopies made, and now I'm going out and giving these books to others. And people give me money, and then I print more books. So he started a whole new movement just because he read Bhagavad Gita. He didn't know there was temples. He didn't know there was devotees. He didn't know there was association, anything. Just by reading Gita, he started himself, single-handedly, the whole movement again. So we have been blessed by Krishna and Prabhupada. You are in the best country of the world for book distribution. I've been on every continent, in most of the countries. This is the best, this is the easiest, this is the most tasty place to distribute Prabhupada's books. Right now, India is doing 56% of the world's book distribution. And about 80% of that is happening in 1 month, the month of December. So what if India starts distributing books from January to November? Like you're doing here in Tirupati. If the rest of India starts doing that. If we start motivating and empowering our congregation to distribute Prabhupada's books. And we'll not just have 50 brahmacharis here, 20 guys there, 5 guys there. But we'll start actually having tens of thousands of people distributing Prabhupada's books. You know what's going to happen? Boom! You know, it's a big bomb which is going to go off. It's like when you give somebody a book of Prabhupada, what happens at one point? The bomb goes off. The blast, you know? His material life is finished. And all of a sudden, you know, he's a hankar and his hair and everything flies away. And he goes, Hare Bol! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare! Srila Prabhupada ki! And you can be part of that. In one capacity or the other. You can do it, you can assist it, you can manage in such a way that it happens, and you can be there and watch it and see that miracle happen right in front of your eyes. Because when you see that person walking away from the book table with that big smile on their face and they feel like they're a Karodapati because they just got the most valuable thing in their lives, your heart is very full. And you know Prabhupada is pleased. You know Krishna is pleased. This person can really make a difference in their lives. This is what Prabhupada wanted us to do. This is our legacy. This is our family business. Thank you for taking your time. and for taking this book distribution mission seriously. It cannot be underestimated. That's why Srila Prabhupada pushed so much. Please distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. So, there's lunch break now. I'll ask you to be all back here, well rested and well prepared for lesson number 3 this afternoon, which will start at 3 o'clock, and it's about customer care. Hare Krishna.